Sometimes people tell me that I should simply and only preach about love. And what they mean by that is they think that in the church, preachers should not speak about the environment or about moral issues or about politics or corruption or current events, just love. Now, there's something correct about that idea. Of course, without love, we don't have anything. If we don't have love, then we're missing the heart of the whole message. If we don't have love, we don't have God, because God is love. Without love, anything else we say or do is empty, worthless. Paul says that speaking without love makes us nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And Jesus himself often speaks about love, as well as many other things, including taxes and laws and farming and current events. But when he speaks about love, it's usually not the kind of love that we have in mind, not the kind of love that we would prefer. What we want is love that makes us feel good, or at least consoled, or affirmed, or wanted. But Jesus often speaks about love that challenges us, or even disturbs us. The best example is his commandment that we must love our enemies. Sure, that's love, but it's a contradictory love. It's a challenging love. We would never think of it, in fact, if Jesus didn't tell us that's what he means. Well, in today's gospel, Jesus again challenges us with his talk about love. He says that love, if we want to be counted among his disciples, our love must be ordered in a certain way. Some relationships of love take priority over others. Let's listen again to what Jesus says at the beginning of today's gospel. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Isn't this kind of strange? Kind of disturbing? Who would ever say something like this? You have to love me more than you love your parents, more than you love your children. And if you don't, well, then you're not worthy of me. And after putting himself first in our love, then he throws in the requirement of the cross. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is speaking here with divine authority, because only God can make such a claim or such a commandment, such a claim on our love. And it's not an unfair demand, because, after all, he loves us first. He loves first. He suffers first. He gives first with great abundance. That's the foundation of all this. So he has every right to seek an abundant response of love from us. That's what he's really saying. Now, he's not telling us not to love our family members. He's not telling us to abandon our family obligations. That would contradict the commandments. But he is telling us to put our love in this order: God first and others second. God first. Or Jesus says, me first. Jesus first. This is not one of the passages where he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here he's saying it's not light, it's a cross. A cross we must carry if we're going to be his disciples. It's a kind of love that goes beyond our nature, seemingly even against our nature. But if we understand it right, it's not against us at all. But this kind of talk, it can discourage us. It can even frighten us. It just sounds so negative. It doesn't sound like love to us, this kind of talk about crosses. We so easily forget that the message of Jesus Christ is good news, the gospel of the Lord. When we hear him talking about the challenges of being a disciple, it sounds to us like bad news. We might even start to wonder, are there some other options here? Well, what do we do with this? Jesus Christ crucified is the very center of our faith. There's no denying the cross in Jesus' life. And there's no denying the cross in our life as his followers. He makes it very clear, we have to take up our cross. There's no avoiding it, there's no erasing it, there's no changing it. It's the way it is. If you want a smooth, comfortable ride into heaven, I'm sorry, there isn't one. The way of the cross is what Jesus shows us. But remember, it's not against us. The Lord is on our side. He loves us first with the greatest love. And he wants us to have eternal life, eternal happiness, even more than we want it. He wants us to have it. So the message of the cross, as bracing and as challenging as it is ultimately positive because it bears such good fruit for us and for others. So we shouldn't be too quick to conclude that if something is hard or painful, that it must be bad, and that we should avoid it at all costs. No, no, not necessarily. This is very important to keep in mind when the cross gets heavy, when we're paying the price, when we're suffering, when it seems like life is all planting and no harvesting, when it seems like life is all giving and no receiving, we have to remember the bigger picture. Not a picture in which there's no suffering. There is no such life like that. But a picture in which suffering has become fruitful or will become abundantly fruitful. Because no gift of self, no sacrifice in love ever goes to waste. Well, to get a feel for this, we can take a look at the simple story that we receive from the Old Testament in today's first reading from this story of the prophet Elisha. In this little story, there's a rich woman with her husband who decides to put up a guest room in her house for the prophet Elisha so that he can stay in their house when he comes to town. It's a very kind gesture. You could say it's an act of charity to the prophet Elisha. And it's also a way of respecting God, serving God, because the woman recognizes that this is a man of God. So this is a simple example of charity. The unexpected result of this generosity, of this hospitality on the part of the woman, is that a year later, she gives birth to her first child, a son. And that's what the Lord declared through the prophet. So what's the lesson of this little story? One who gives receives. The one who sacrifices is rewarded. Very simple, right? Very simple. Give and you will receive. Jesus himself taught this. Give and you will receive. Very simple until it becomes difficult, until it's hard to do. Simple until it costs more than we are willing to pay. When it hurts, or when it seems like we're doing all this giving and we're not getting anything, then it doesn't seem so simple anymore. But the principle is actually simple. Give and you will receive. The wisdom of the cross is that we keep giving even before we receive. And Jesus expresses this same lesson, this very fundamental lesson in today's gospel, when he says, whoever receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink because he's a little one, because he's a disciple, will not lose his reward. You notice this, he's not only talking about crosses and about giving and about death, he's talking about rewards. Yeah, there's a reward. Mga gantimpala. There's fruit, there's new life. Now, Jesus doesn't say, give so that you will receive. He doesn't say, give and you will receive what you want when you want it. He doesn't say that. He says, give and you will receive a reward, a part of the challenge of faith, is that we don't see the reward right away. In fact, very often we don't know exactly what the reward even is. It's a faith journey. But to keep giving with trust in God, with trust in God who is good, who's very trustworthy, God who loves us, and before we even love him, he already loves us, he assures us of eternal reward. So we're not treating God like a vending machine, ATM. We're not manipulating him into favoring us. We're actually joining him in the way of love, which is his way, his love. I started out by mentioning the advice that I have received, preach about love. Well, this is how love works. It always involves sacrifice because it's a gift of ourselves. Love is not all about what we get. It's also about what we give, and giving is a sacrifice. The cross that we must take up, meaning any kind of suffering, will always seem bad to us, to our natural reaction. It always seems bad to us, but faith tells us, and today's readings tell us, to see it differently. Don't fall for the idea that you can preserve your life. You can preserve your own life. That's a bad idea. It doesn't work, and it's a bad idea. It leads to, as Jesus says, it leads to losing the very thing we're trying to save. He teaches the opposite. He says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Such a paradox, but so true. Who loses his life, or we would explain it better, who makes a gift of his life, gives away his life, will find it. In fact, we'll find more of it. Whoever loves more receives more. Whoever gives more receives more. Try this out. That's what the readings are telling us. Try this out. Take up your cross and follow him. Make a gift of yourself in love, and you will receive more than you give. Don't be afraid to give. Don't be afraid to suffer. Don't be afraid to love. This is the way that leads to life, to abundant, fulfilling life in Jesus Christ.